Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. Though I'm beginning the program, Blair and I are sharing this Singing and Other Sins edition on animal art songs. We're not telling each other in advance what songs we'll use, and so it'll be fun to see if there are any duplications. I'll start with an almost animal, Lewis Carroll's Jabberwocky.
Slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the web. All mimsy were the burrows, and the mome raths outgrabe. Jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the jumping bird and shun the frumious bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand. Long time the manxome
and the moon.
That was Lee Hoiby's Jabberwocky, sung by William Sharp, with Stephen Blyer, the pianist. The next are even sillier animal art songs because they're based on Ogden Nash poems.
I don't mind eels, except at meals. Of a bovine ilk, one end is moo and the other milk. Harboring grudges. I know one hound that laughed all winter at a porcupine that sat on a splinter. The song of canaries never varies, and when they're molting, they're pretty revolting. Tell us why.
Mm-hmm.
octopus, I begs. Is those things arms, or is they legs? I marvel at thee, octopus. If I were thou, I'd call me arms.
On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, Blair and I have assembled our animal art songs without telling each other which ones. So Blair hasn't heard any of my picks. In the second half, we'll hear his choices and let's see if there are any duplicates. We just heard 8 songs to Ogden Nash poems by Philip Schroeder. The baritone was Robert Best, and the pianist was Jeremy G. Astolfi. The clarinet was played by Stephen Becraft. The cellist was Stephen Feldman, and Dick Diamond handled the percussion. The next songs are even sillier and aren't really art songs, but Some Animal Fun by Flanders and Swan.
Last Thursday, I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. So I asked him, "What's that creature there?" And he answered, "It's an elk." And I might have gone on thinking that was true. If the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked, "I ain't a elk, I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu, I'm a gnu, the nicest work of nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu, how do you do? You really ought to know who's wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelled G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce, I'm neither man or moose. Oh, gno, 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 I'm a gnu." I had taken furnished lodgings down at Rustington-on-Sea, whence I traveled on to Ashton-under-Lyme. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted, was a face I thought I knew. A bison? An okapi. Could it be a hearty beast? Then I seem to hear a voice. "I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. A another gnu. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo. I'm a gnu, spelled G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least like that dreadful hearty beast. Oh, gno, 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 I'm a gnu. Gno, 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 I'm a gnu. Gno, 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 I'm a gnu."
Thank you.
For sloth am I live a life of ease, contented not to do or die, but idle as I please. I have three toes on either foot, or half a dozen on both. With leaves and fruits and shoots to eat, how sweet to be a sloth. The world is such a cheerful place when viewed from upside down. It makes a rise of every fall, a smile of every frown. I watch the fleeting flutter by of butterfly or moth, and think of all the things I'd try if I were not a sloth. I could climb the very highest Himalayas, be among the greatest ever tennis players, always win at chess or marry a princess, or study hard and be an eminent professor. I could be a millionaire, play the clarinet, travel everywhere, learn to cook, catch a crook, win a war, then write a book about it. I could paint a Mona Lisa, I could be another Caesar, compose an oratorio that was sublime. The door's not shut on my genius, but I just don't have the time. For days and days among the trees I sleep and dream and doze, just gently swaying in the breeze, suspended by my toes, while eager beavers overhead rush through the undergrowth. I watch the clouds beneath my feet, how sweet to be a sloth.
Hippopotamus was standing one day by the banks of the cool Shalimar. He gazed at the bottom as it peacefully lay by the light of the evening star. Away on a hilltop sat combing her hair his fair hippopotamine maid. The hippopotamus was no ignoramus, and sang her this sweet serenade. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow. Fair hippopotami he aimed to entice from her seat on that hilltop above. As she hadn't got a ma to give her advice, came tiptoeing down to her love.
Like thunder, the forest re-echoed the sound of the song that they sang as they met. His inamorata adjusted her garter and lifted her voice in duet.
Mad, mad, glorious mad, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow.
More hippopotami began to convene on the banks of that river so wide. I wonder now, what am I to say of the scene that ensued by the Shalimar side? They dived all at once with an ear-splitting splosh, then rolled to the surface again. A regular army of hippopotami, all singing this haunting refrain. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow. Later, the amorous hippopotamus, whose story we know, is now married and father of ten. He murmurs, God rotamus, he watches them grow, and he longs to be single again. He'll gamble no more on the banks of the Nile, which Nasser had flooded that spring. Those hippopotamus in silken pajamas, no more will he teach them to sing. Mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it for cooling the blood. So follow me, follow, down to the hollow, and there let us wallow. Compass bearings for the Ordnance Survey by an army training camp on Salisbury Plain. I had packed up my theodolite, was calling it a day, when I heard a voice that sang a sad refrain. Oh, my darling armadillo, let me tell you of my love. Listen to my armadillo roundelay. Be my fellow on my pillow underneath this weeping willow. Be my darling armadillo all the day. I was somewhat disconcerted by this curious affair, for a single armadillo you will own. On Salisbury Plain in summer is comparatively rare, and a pair of them is practically unknown. Drawn by that mellow solo, there I followed on my bike to discover what these armadillo lovers would be like. Oh, my darling armadillo, how delightful it would be if for us the silver wedding bells would chime. Let the orange blossom billow, you need only say I will. Oh, be my darling armadillo all the time. Then I saw them in a hollow, by a yellow muddy bank, one armadillo singing to an armor-plated tank. Should I tell him, gaunt and rusty, with the willow tree above, this abandoned on maneuvers is the object of your love? I left him to his singing, cycled home without a pause. Never tell a man the truth about the one that he adores. On the breeze that follows sunset, I could hear that sad refrain, singing willow, willow, willow down the way. And I seem to hear it still, oh, vive l'amour, vive l'armadillo. Be my darling armadillo all the day. Be my darling armadillo all the day.
Those crazy Flanders and Swan songs were performed by Paul Sperry with Ian Hobson, the pianist. Having reached this level of foolishness on Singing and Other Sins, it's time to let Blair Boone Magura share his animal art song choices. Take it away, Blair.
As we see in the German vocal literature, the French poets and song composers also turned to nature to reflect the sensitive soul of the artist. Although much of the poetry centers around the theme of love, we'll take a look at a few treasures of French song where animals serve as the vehicle to demonstrate a central point or idea. We begin with one of the most authentic and celebrated collaborative duos in French song, baritone Pierre Bernac and pianist and composer friend Francis Poulenc. I'll share with you three of Ravel's songs from his cycle Histoire naturelle. It's a setting of five poems by Jules Renard for voice and piano. The three songs we'll hear today are Le Pont, The Peacock. The peacock is described as waiting in his finery for his beloved fiancée. She does not appear, but his vanity makes him confident that she'll come tomorrow. Le Grillon, The Cricket. The cricket returns to his home at the end of the day and obsessively puts everything in order before burrowing deep into the earth. And Le Cygne, The Swan. The swan is distracted by reflections in the water, confusing the image of his own neck for a woman's arm. Each time he plunges his beak into the water, vainly fishing for reflections, he brings out a worm, and so grows fat. From there, we'll turn to the duo performing three songs from Poulenc's Le Bestiaire on poems by Guillaume Apollinaire. Apollinaire entered the tradition of the medieval bestiary crafting elegant short lyrics that contain a philosophical idea using animals as moral symbols. Poulenc set six of them, of which we will hear three today. La Sauterelle, The Grasshopper. With brevity, a clear picture of a grasshopper and its tiny wings is created. Le Dauphin, The Dolphin. Here, Poulenc's music illustrates perfectly the image of the dolphin breaking through the water. And L'Écrevisse, The Crayfish. The uncertainties of life are reflected here with the hesitant movements of the crayfish.
Sa fiancée elle n'est pas venue. Elle ne peut tarder. Glorieux, il se promène avec une allure de prince indien. Il porte sur lui les riches présents d'usage. L'amour ravive l'éclat de ses couleurs et son aigrette tremble comme une lyre. La fiancée n'arrive pas. Il monte du toit et regarde du côté du soleil. Il jette son cri diabolique. Léon, Léon. C'est ainsi qu'il appelle sa fiancée. Il ne voit rien venir. Et personne ne répond. Les volailles habituées ne lèvent même point la tête. Elles sont lasses de l'admirer. Il redescend dans la cour, si sûr d'être bon qu'il est incapable de rancune. Le mariage sera pour demain. Et ne sachant quoi faire du reste de la journée, il se dirige vers le perron. Gravit les marches comme des marches de temple d'un pas officiel. Il relève sa robe à queue toute lourde des yeux qui n'ont pu se détacher d'elle. Encore une fois la cérémonie. L'insecte nègre revient de promenade et répare avec soin le désordre de son domaine. D'abord, il ratisse ses étroites allées de sable. Il fait du branc de scie qu'il écarte au seuil de sa retraite. Il lime la racine de cette grande herbe propre à le harceler. Il se repose. Puis il remonte sa minuscule montre. A-t-il fini ? Est-elle cassée ?
il se repose encore un peu. Il rentre chez lui et ferme sa porte. Longtemps, il tourne sa clé dans la serrure délicate. Et il écoute, point d'alarme dehors. Mais il ne se trouve pas en sûreté. Et comme par une chaînette dont la poule grince, il descend jusqu'au fond de la terre. On n'entend plus rien. La campagne muette, les peupliers se dressent comme des doigts en l'air et désignent la lune. Sur le bassin, comme un traîneau blanc, de nuage en nuage. Car il n'a faim que des nuages floconneux qu'il voit naître, bouger et se perdre dans l'eau. C'est l'un d'eux qu'il désire. Il le vise du bec et il plonge tout à coup son col vêtu de neige. Puis tel un bras de femme sort d'une manche, il le retire. Il n'a rien. Il regarde. Les nuages effarouchés ont disparu. Il ne reste qu'un instant désabusé, car les nuages tardent peu à revenir. Et là-bas, où meurent les ondulations de l'eau, en voici un qui se reforme. Qu'est-ce que je dis? Chaque fois qu'il plonge, il fouille du bec la vase nourrissante et ramène un verre. Il engraisse comme une oie.
La sauterelle.
Voici la fine sauterelle, la nourriture de Saint-Jean. Puisse mes vers être comme elle, le régal des meilleurs gens.
Le dauphin.
Dauphin, vous jouez dans la mer, mais le flot est toujours amer. Parfois ma joie
éclate-t-elle? La vie est encore cruelle.
L'écrevisse.
Listening to Singing and Other Sins, and today we're celebrating the music where song composers, through allegory, metaphor, and other poetic devices, use animals to illustrate an idea or a theme. Now we'll hear another legend of song interpretation, famed soprano Ellie Ameling as she performs two melodies, Duparc's La Manteau and Fauré's Le Papillon et la Fleur. In Duparc's La Manteau, one of the chief characters of this poem, by Théophile Gautier, is a sad and lonely pale dove sitting on the branch of a yew tree in a cemetery and who seems to sing in unison with a forgotten soul entombed in the earth. In Le Papillon et la Fleur, The Butterfly and the Flower, we get to enjoy Fauré's very first song setting on a poem by Victor Hugo.
Ooh.
Just heard Ellie Ameling with Rudolf Janssen performing Dupac's Lamento and Fauré's Le Papillon et la Fleur with Ameling and Dalton Baldwin. Another song composer who turned frequently to animals for inspiration is Ernest Chausson. Today we'll hear his Mélodie Les Papillons, Le Colibri et la Cigale. In Les Papillons, Butterflies, the music evokes the image of the flight of butterflies with non-stop fluttering of their wings. The poem is by Théophile Gautier. In Le Colibri, the hummingbird, we'll hear one of Chausson's most beautiful songs set to the words of Parnassian poet Le Comte de Lille. The poet makes a comparison between the soul of the artist and the hummingbird. Famed collaborative duo Gérard Souzet and pianist Dalton Baldwin perform here. Then we'll hear La Cigale, the cicada, a song also set to text by Le Comte de Lille, which is perfectly suited to high lyric soprano voices. We'll hear German soprano Christine Scheffer and American pianist Erwin Gage, who recently passed away on April 12, 2018 in Switzerland at the age of 78. Gage is best known for his collaborations with singers like Ellie Ameling, Jesse Norman, Arlene Auger, and Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau.
Les papillons couleur de neige volent paraissant sur la mer. Beaux papillons blancs, quand pourrais-je prendre le bleu chemin de l'air? Savez-vous, ô belle des belles, ma bayadère aux yeux de jais, s'il me voulait prêter leurs savez-vous où j'irai, sans prendre un seul baiser aux roses, à travers vallons et forêts, j'irai à vos lèvres mi-closes, fleur de mon art, et j'y mourrai. Un humide éclair.
Our last French song today is Reynaldo Hahn's Le Rossignol des Lilas, set to poetry by Léopold Dauphin. This is one of Hahn's most beautiful songs. Here we turn to the talents of French-Canadian soprano Rosemarie Landry with pianist Dalton Baldwin. I hope you enjoyed today's program of animal-inspired art songs. I'm your host, Blair Boone Magura. Gary Hickling and I look forward to seeing you on a future Singing and Other Sins. Aloha!
I'm bought me a cat, my cat pleased me. I fed my cat under yonder tree. My cat says, fiddle I fee. I bought me a duck, my duck pleased me. I fed my duck under yonder tree. My duck says, quack, quack. My cat says, fiddle I fee. I bought me a goose, my goose pleased me. I fed my goose under yonder tree. My goose says, quack, quack. My duck says, quack, quack. My cat says, fiddle I fee. I bought me a hen, my hen pleased me. I fed my hen under yonder tree. My hen says, shimmy shack, shimmy shack. My goose says, quack, quack. My duck says, quack, quack. My cat says, fiddle I fee.